Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Does Mike Munchak have the toughest job of any Broncos coach this season? Does he have the greatest level of expectation, not only of any position coach, but of offensive coordinator and head coach as well, Stoke?
Probably so. And it's hard to have those types of expectations if you're just an offensive line coach. Not a coordinator. You're not the head coach. Certainly, you look at the coordinator positions and you look at Rich Gangarella like, hey, we're expecting a lot from you, Rich. No, it's just your first year, but it is what it is. We need to see better offensively. We need to see more explosive plays. We need to see touchdowns. So expectations are, you know, your offensive coordinator comes in here and does a lot better job. Defensive coordinator Vic Fangio fixed this mess that we've seen the last couple years. Is mess the right word?
Yeah.
Sure, right? 5-11, 6-10.
Heck yeah.
It's looked really bad in certain games. Back-to-back 200-yard on the ground, giving up. Isaiah Crowell, Todd Gurley. Not good enough defensively. Not to the standard that we're used to. Fix that, Vic Fangio and company. But Mike Munchak, yes. I would think the expectations for him and what we expect him to do and the improvement on the offensive line, whether we give you a lot of new pieces or not, it ought to be better.
I mean, think about the pieces that are already in place and what they're asking him to do. Like, hey, our first-round pick, we need him to look like a first-round pick, and we also need to validate the richest contract in football at right tackle. Like, we need you to do all that. Like, this needs to look good on the left side so we don't have to start over and hit the reset button with a franchise left tackle, and we need the price point of Juwan James to be validated. That's asking a lot. Oh, and by the way, the most consistent member of your offensive line, yeah, he's going to play in Carolina this year. So we need to refine the center spot, too, with that new face. I mean, there is a lot on Mike Munchak's plate here.
Yep. There sure is. I mean, he knew what he was getting into when he came here, right?
Sure.
Knew what the pieces that he had to work with. And I think for a coach, that gets you excited. Look, I mean, there's, of course, you like coaching great units and great athletes and great position groups, that, right? You would like to do that, but at the same time, you coach a group that you look at, and you look at Garrett Bowles, and you say, okay, well, he has athleticism. Clean up the technique a little bit, and we can make him that much better just like that. Right tackle, okay, this guy got paid a lot of money. He's been a good, solid offensive lineman. He hadn't been special, probably overpaid for him, but I'm going to get him to play more consistently for 16 games. And those guys in the interior, give me whoever you got, and I'm going to get the most out. I mean, for a coach, right, give me Sam Jones. Give me these guys. I'm going to make those guys play at a high level, and I'm going to get this thing turned around to where it's going to be a strength of our football team. As a coach, I mean, that's what you love to do. So Mike knew what he was getting into here, and you look at this offensive line, and now the addition of a right tackle, a solid, solid starter, I think it should be better, and I think he likes the challenge.
This is John Elway after having a hole at right tackle, if he views Juwan James as the answer.
We do, you know, and like I said, you know, we think he's a perfect system fit for us, and, you know, he's had five great years down there in Miami, but to really think that he can solidify that right tackle, and that's our expectations.
That's the expectation. Solidify it. Fill the hole.
Yes. You look at his addition, and John said he fits our system, right? You need athletic linemen to fit this type of system.
Sure.
You know, you get guys running, stretch, 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 and then the running back cuts it back. So you have to be athletic to be able to play in this type of system up front, and certainly he's that type of offensive lineman. But so is Garrett Bowles.
Sure.
So this might be the perfect transition of this type of offense with Mike Munchak in this scheme to all of a sudden see the Garrett Bowles that, you know, John Elway and company thought they were going to get in year one and year two.
This is Vic Fangio on Juwan James and what he saw out of him last year when the Bears play the Dolphins.
Good athlete with length and size to him, and I like that he's in the middle of his career.
I think he's got a chance to be a Bronco for a long time.
That's a good point, too. I mean, Juwan James, what is he, 26 years old? Something like that? He's 26 or 27.
So right in his prime, when he should be playing the best football of his career. Vic Fangio is exactly right.
26.
Those are the guys you want. Guys that are supposedly entering their prime. And that's who the Broncos got right here. And a guy that could play, you know, right tackle for you for another 10 years if he plays at a high enough level. But certainly he should be playing his best football right now. In a scheme that fits his style, with a really good coach, I mean, it should be, you should see Juwan James, and we shouldn't be talking about him a lot during the season. Like, oh, who's our right tackle?
Yeah.
What is he doing? Nope, shouldn't have to be doing that this year. It's a good fit for this system.
And how about this? Juwan James was drafted 3 years ahead of Garrett Bowles. Same age.
Wow.
Same age, both 26. Juwan James on his second contract after getting his fifth year picked up.
Right.
Garrett Bowles just finished up year two.
Unbelievable.
Kind of crazy,
wow.
Right?
Wow.
I saw a tweet that, like, sometimes I see a tweet, I need to read it twice. How about this one from Schefter 17 minutes ago? Former Bills quarterback J.P. Lossman, now a 38-year-old offensive coach at Clemson, threw the ball to wide receivers so well at the school's pro day today that an NFL team actually asked him if he had any interest in coming back to the NFL, in which his last game played was 2011. It's nearly a decade ago.
Wow.
Lossman declined, end quote.
That's good. I didn't know he was at Clemson.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, good for him. Right out of Tulane.
Yeah, out of Tulane.
A really good college quarterback. Got drafted by the Bills. You have the J.P. Lossman story. I still don't believe that. Your uncle, I don't know. I don't know if uncle, you know, had too much to drink on or what. But I mean,
in the middle of the day.
Well, I mean, some people partake in the middle of the day, Zach. That doesn't stop everybody.
That's true.
But, I mean, so you want to tell the story real quick?
It's very quick story.
Right.
J.P. Lossman was in Wegmans, which is like their King Supers.
Right.
He was in Wegmans with his Tulane jersey on. Lossman right on the back.
No chance.
All right.
No chance.
Why would someone make that up?
Maybe he's confused. I don't know. I'm not saying he made it up. I'm not saying he's lying. I'm just saying he might have just saw something and... You know, people do that all the time. Mistaken identity. You know, you thought you saw it, and maybe it was and he was sure that was JP.
What
was he? Did he confirm that with JP?
It was JP. It was JP with a Tulane jersey, a green wave jersey.
Let me see
the green wave, aren't they?
Let me see if
Tulane?
I got his number.
Go ahead.
They are the green wave. Let me see if I got his number.
Go ahead. He can join us too.
I got his number.
Text him.
I got his number.
Have you ever worn your jersey in public in order to get recognized?
I haven't had contact with J.P. Lossman. We were teammates in Seattle since that was 2010? Something 11? 10? 2010. Just text him out of the blue?
Hey, it's Stoke, your teammate from Seattle. I'm on the radio right now.
I don't have to tell him your teammate from Seattle.
Okay.
I think you don't need to say that.
Hey, it's Stoke. We're on the radio.
I have a radio show.
I have a radio show now in Denver.
Somebody called in. Should I just kind of fabricate a little bit?
Sure.
Or just say my partner's uncle.
That's right.
What's your uncle's name? Uncle what?
Uncle Al.
Uncle Al. All right. Uncle Al. All right. I like it. I like it. Maybe we'll text him to find out.
I have a simple question to ask in regards to our quarterback room. Who's the backup? Oh my gosh. Tell you what, this is in the Hall of Fame for me from like the
Hall.
Like a 10-year-old version of myself.
Yeah.
Does anyone remember, here's a good on you, Steven, for mixing this in. Does anyone remember what movie this came out with? It was a part of the debut soundtrack.
Was it Michelle Pfeiffer? Was it?
Bingo. Right. Bingo. Dangerous Minds.
Oh, Steven. I didn't know the name of it, but I remember Michelle Pfeiffer.
You were on it. Dude, that is one of my favorite movies ever. About a substitute teacher trying to, you know, teach this urban class poetry. Oh my gosh. So good. Emilio. I remember that the fight scene. I was like 10 and it's
who
like,
are the gangsters?
So good. So good. All right. Who's the backup quarterback, Stoke? I got a couple options for you here.
Oh.
go the free agent route, Fitzpatrick, McCown.
Uh-huh.
Could be Kevin Hogan. Could be a first-round quarterback. Could be a late-round quarterback. What does your gut tell you the direction that John's about to go with this thing?
I think it could. We could have three quarterbacks on the roster this year. Flacco, Kevin Hogan, and then a drafted guy. Middle round, late round drafted guy on the roster that could end up being on the practice squad. But I could see a quarterback room with three guys on the roster this year with Flacco, Kevin Hogan, and then a drafted guy. So I think Kevin Hogan is probably going to be the backup.
You think Kevin Hogan is going to be the backup?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think that they're going to try to look to bring in a Fitzpatrick or McCown. I think they'll stay with Hogan as a backup and draft a guy middle, late rounds, and he'll be the third stringer, maybe practice squad.
Interesting. I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of the Kevin Hogan as the backup plan.
No, why not?
I'm just not a Kevin Hogan fan. Just not a Kevin. I used to like watching him play at Stanford. But I don't.
Those late night games?
Late night.
Need it.
Pac-12, need it. Need it.
Come on, Kevin. Yeah.
He had a great career at Stanford. He really did.
Yes, he did. Look, I'm not thrilled about it. I'm not like saying that would be a great plan, but I think they're all in with Flacco. If Flacco gets hurt, they're like, I mean, do you look at a Fitzpatrick? Do we put money into Fitzpatrick? Is that where we're at?
Well.
Who else is available?
Josh McCown.
McCown, I saw he said, like, he doesn't even know what he's doing right now.
Right.
So he's not on the market right now. Now, you could wait and see if he wants to play football in 3 or 4 months or whatever and maybe look to bring him in.
The reason I bring this up is that if you are legitimately in win-now mode, and you have Joe Flacco as your starting quarterback to get that done, let's just say Joe Flacco misses the same amount of time that he missed last year. Now right. Like people forget, like Joe Flacco could have came back. They just stuck with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I think he would have missed a couple weeks, maybe right. 2-3 at the most. But that was it.
But they won some games when he was gone, and they said, we're going to continue to do this.
They were going to do it anyway, so it just made it happen quicker.
But say the Broncos are 5-3 after 8 games.
Right.
And he needs to miss 2 games. I don't trust Kevin Hogan to come in here and win football games. So I know it's a little bit counterintuitive because we actually, you know, we need to look at what's next. While we're occupying this space of time of win now, we do need to be cognizant of, like, who's next up. And I just can't imagine Kevin Hogan... I can't imagine that being an organizational plan.
I mean, sometimes you keep your fingers crossed. I mean, you can't have everything, you know, all the backup spots solidified to where you're like giving high fives. We're good. No sweat if this guy goes down. You're going to have certain positions where you just don't have the depth that you would like to have. That's just the nature of the NFL. You keep your fingers crossed that guy didn't get hurt. If they get hurt, you're screwed.
But at that position, quarterback, it's unlike any others.
Well, I got to get some, I mean, give me some names. I need some names to look at here when you look at quarterbacks that are available and to see if it's even worth it.
For okay, I have a list of names. I have a list of names. Let's see. You see Teddy Bridgewater re-signed?
He re-signed with the Saints?
Yeah.
Because I saw that he was going to Miami. I mean, he went on a visit to Miami.
Right.
But he stayed with New Orleans, huh?
That seems to be the case. Let's talk about this.
Look, the guy that sticks out to me is Blake Bortles. Big, strong arm guy, tall. Why not? Joking. There's not many. Who on the list?
Mike Glennon.
Of all these guys, would you feel like really good about that they're going to save your season?
There's a snake in my boot.
Uh-oh, Chad.
Hell yeah! I would love it, but that's unrealistic.
Right.
How about this? You know, sometimes you take a break in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You take a break, you come back, and you're better off for it. What about Trevor Siemian?
Hmm. He's free agent?
I think so.
He is an unrestricted free agent. He is.
I would feel pretty good if Trevor Siemian had to come in here for two games. I would feel pretty good.
Yeah, I would too.
About him holding down the fort. Has enough time passed that a new situation, new coaching staff. I'm going to be honest. I'd feel great about Trevor Siemian as the backup quarterback.
I think you're correct. I think enough time has passed now where I could get on board with that.
Yes!
Right, you Brandon Stokely.
Yes. There you go, Trev.
Let's run it back.
Let's get it going again.
Team Trevor.
Team Trev. I think enough time has passed now, yes. Okay. It wouldn't have worked last year. We talked about it. Just like Keenum wouldn't have worked this year. But now enough time has passed where you could bring Trevor Siemian back to be your backup. That would be a good one.
Okay, Trev.
Okay, Trev.
Okay, Trev. Where do these sound bites go? Do they just like float off like into...
Like, they got to be there somewhere.
Somewhere like deep in the matrix.
Mm. I mean, it's 2019. Everything's stored. You don't have to delete anything anymore, do you?
I don't know.
Put it in the cloud.
It's in the cloud.
Put it in the cloud.
It's in
man.
The cloud.
Come on.
There have been a lot of power moves made this offseason thus far. Which are the best? I have the 10 on the surface most impactful moves this offseason.
I got a great RamosLaw.com text from my man Ron in North Carolina. Appreciate the help. Talking about helping me out with my conversation with JP Lossman. Pretty good stuff.
What does it say?
Preview of Stoke's text conversation. Hey, JP, it's Stoke. JP. Who? Brandon Stokely. Then JP. Do I know you? ? Yeah, man, the wide receiver. JP kind of emoji like, huh? Peyton's BFF. And then JP says, Stoke, why didn't you just start with that? What's up, man? Ron, that's a good one, Ron.
That's good.
Good one.
That's good. All right, we'll rank the biggest moves in the NFL offseason next. We had a powerhouse snowstorm come through here.
And that wind was,
it's crazy. Crazy. The bulk of it seems to be over. Looks like just kind of peaceful
over.
Out there now. Sun's out.
Yeah, it's great.
It's supposed to be like 50 this weekend.
Just that one day.
Just that one day. But there's always...
Is that 25 still closed?
You know, I don't know. I think it is open.
Should be, right?
It should be. Should be. Just say what you want to say.
Yeah, some people can make it in a day. Some people, stuff, I guess.
Still you make an intelligent still observation.
Still using that as an excuse, I guess.
That's funny. All right. There's been a lot of power moves this offseason. Powerhouse storm, powerhouse offseason. In fact, I think this is the most seismic shifts that we've seen in many, many years. I gotta be honest. Like for me, and I don't know, I'm not looking at previous years and contrasting them side by side. This has been the most movement I've ever can remember.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. You know, the Josh McDaniels coming in here, that was a lot of movement there. Traded Jay Cutler, brought in Kyle Orton, you know.
Well, I'm just saying league-wide. League-wide, not like with the Broncos, like league-wide.
The whole league.
The whole league.
Got you. Huh.
I'm going to bounce some of these names
off
you.
There has been a lot. It's been a lot.
I'm going to bounce some of these seismic shifts off of you. And you just you give me your natural reaction. Because we haven't talked about most of these. Le'Veon Bell to the New York Jets. Thoughts?
Great move for them. They got him at a number that I know he probably was disappointed in. Look, bad move by him sitting out.
Right.
I mean, we talked about it, Zach, and I think we both agreed. And I was shocked that he sat out the whole year. It's a bad move. $14 million. Buy yourself a $2 million insurance policy if you're scared.
Right.
You know about the injury risk. But if you stayed healthy, you were going to get paid again. That's all you had to do is stay healthy. Even if you didn't, if you had the insurance policy, but to skip out on a year and $14 million at that position. I'm glad he got something that a nice contract that he got, but I think it's big for them and a young quarterback and what Adam Gase and those guys over there are trying to build really, really good piece to help that young quarterback out.
How about OBJ to the Cleveland Browns?
Great move by the Browns. I mean, they are putting some pieces around Baker Mayfield, trying to get that thing back heading in the right direction, which we saw this year, a first big step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd look at it and say, what are the Giants doing? What's their plan? Like, why would you pay him and then take this big cap hit and then trade him? Like, trade him before you pay him.
Right.
So to me, it doesn't seem like they have a direction. Are they in rebuild mode now? Are they going to draft a young quarterback this year? You know, you're like a year late for everything.
Right.
If you're the Giants.
Right.
Like, if you were in rebuild mode, then you should have started it last year. If you're all in with Eli, that's fine. They keep the pieces around him and keep drafting around him. But it's like they don't know what direction they're heading. It's confusing. And so it's like they're starting this rebuild process a year too late. It's really, really confusing to me why they would trade him a year after paying him all that money and take a 20-something million dollar cap hit.
Right. I wonder, and I'm just thinking out loud here, I wonder how Eli feels about this.
Oh, he can't be happy.
Like, you're taking away his number one weapon.
Right, what? Like, he's confused. Like, what's the plan? What are we doing? Like, you want me to play at a high level, and you want to stick with me at the quarterback position, but you take away my biggest threat on the outside. Like, what are we doing? You're building towards a future with the draft picks, but at the same time, you're doing it a year too late.
Bizarre.
It's just really, really confusing the direction that they're heading there. I don't think they know. Like, what's their plan? What was their plan when they started over a year ago? It's like a lot of misdirection stuff. Like, and he kept on saying Gettleman, their GM, that we didn't sign him to trade him. And
right.
Then you did it.
Then they did it.
Weird.
How about D Ford to the Niners?
I think that's a really good move by both parties. I mean, the Chiefs cleared up some cap space there, got a second round pick. They're changing their defense from the 3-4 to the 4-3, I believe. So what kind of fit would he have been in that defensive scheme? Obviously, they're putting resources elsewhere. They need to save money on the cap. And it's a good move for the 49ers. You're getting a good edge rusher. They need edge rushers. And so you're getting a guy in his prime that's a pass rusher. And you only gave up a second-round pick for him. So I think it's a win-win.
How about C.J. Mosley going to be flying around for gangrene there in New York as well?
A really good move by the Jets. They're trying to build something there. They are. And when you're as bad as they've been for so long, sometimes it takes a while. There's a process there, but they're putting some nice pieces together, and C.J. Mosley is a stud.
How about this for a fit? Earl Thomas to the Ravens.
Yeah, that should be a great fit. Put him in that defense, and he's going to be fun to watch. I think that's a great move by the Ravens.
Matt Paradis to the Panthers.
Good move by the Panthers. You know, you're trying to shore up your offensive line and solidify the middle of that line, and obviously, with Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey, you have offensive playmakers. Their offensive line was a little bit of a mess last year. So I understand why the Broncos let Paradis go. They had other priorities, couldn't pay him. But I think it's a good pickup by the Panthers. Paradis is a really good center.
What are your expectations for the Jags with Nick Foles?
That's interesting. We'll see. I don't think that he's going to put that team on his back like he did in Philly the last 2 years and carry that team to the playoffs. I think they are around a 500 football team. But I've thought that about Nick Foles the last 2 years, and every time I doubt him, he delivers. So we'll see. That's going to be a really interesting one to see what he can do as the guy. Not coming in sporadically throughout the course of the season, starting it and then finishing it or just finishing it up. So that one's going to be fun to watch. Obviously, they got some good pieces there, but they had to let some of those pieces go to sign Nick Foles. So we'll see. But I got them right around 500, 8-8 football team.
Of all these moves that I just went through, and you could throw in Antonio Brown to the Raiders, you can throw in Trent Brown to the Raiders as well. Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, to Kansas City. That is a very interesting one that we're going to be able to watch up close and personally. Which of these moves strikes you as, you know what, man, in my gut, it tells me that this right there, that's a marriage that is just going to work.
I think Odell to Cleveland. I really do. Put him back with Jarvis Landry, with Baker Mayfield. I think he'll be in a great situation there where he's just not the only guy. You also got Jarvis Landry there, and I think he'll thrive there. I think that's a really good spot for him.
You could argue, and I did yesterday, Cleveland has the best young offensive core in football. Baker Mayfield at quarterback, David Njoku at tight end, Jarvis Landry, Antonio Callaway, and Odell Beckham Jr. as receivers, and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt as backs.
Woo!
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
And I said this statement yesterday, for the first time in my life, I am excited to watch the Cleveland Browns play football.
Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, that should be an offensive football team that can get up and down the field.
We know the Broncos have struggled with drafting. We know that. But are they worse with how they handle their money? I have an interesting number that I want to share with you next.
Walk back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but walk back down.
We know the Broncos have struggled in the draft. But are they actually worse with how they handle their money? Interesting article from USA Today. It was penned by Stephen Ruiz. And he recently put out this article that determined which NFL teams spend their money the best. Okay?
Oh.
So to calculate these stats, Ruiz developed a metric based on two factors. A player's production, based on his pro football focus grade and snap count, and how much the league is paying for that production on average. We sort of have this in baseball, like you have like war.
Yeah.
Well, he called his stat value above market price, or VAMP. Okay? So, pretty simple. Two factors. Your player production based on pro football focus grade and snap count, and then how much the league is paying for that production on average. He combined each team's average VAMP, value above market price, with the amount of dead money on their books in 2018. Excuse me. Allowing him to rank teams based on how efficiently they utilized their cap space last season. The Broncos are ranked 22nd on the list. SpotRack, which is a great site that we often use, we use it all the time in terms of players' finances and contracts and stuff like that. SpotRack confirmed Denver's struggles with how they handle their cash when they put out the teams with the most dead cap in 2019. Denver was number 4 on their list at $21 million in dead cap, behind only the Giants, Ravens, and Steelers. Is this a big deal or not a big deal?
Did you give the number of where the Broncos were on his list?
They were ranked 22nd on his list, and then SpotRack.
22nd.
Yep, and then SpotRack confirmed the Broncos' struggles with how they handle their cash when they put out the teams with the most dead cap in 2019. Denver was number 4 on that list, 21 mil in dead cap, behind only the Giants, Ravens, and Steelers.
Gotcha.
Big deal, little deal.
No, it's a big deal. Of course it is. Look, I mean, when you want to be spending your money on guys that are producing for you now and that are good signings. When you're on this dead money cap list, on this dead money list here, and you're at the top of it, that means you're paying players that are still taking up some of your salary cap and they're no longer playing for you. You had to move on for their contracts because they were bad signings. It didn't work out. Weren't good enough. So you didn't do a good enough job in the front office when it comes to this. That's ultimately what it says when you have to move on from these guys. So when you're at the top of the list on the dead money and you are 22nd on the list, which is bottom half of the list on value, what was value above market price?
Yeah,
that's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah, me too.
You would like to be more at the top of the list. So obviously it solidifies what we've seen the last couple of years. Not a very good product, right? Well, there you go. Two losing football seasons back to back. More blowout losses 2 years ago than any other team. lost by a wider margin of points than any other team 2 years ago.
That's right.
Last year, 6-10, again, followed up the 5-11 season with another bad year. It hasn't been good. Well, look, these are some of the reasons why. You go back to the drafts also, and you look at who's not here anymore. You look at the free agent pickups that you've had to cut, and you're eating their dead money is hitting your salary cap still. There you go. I mean, it all makes sense, right?
It does. It does. Unfortunately, it makes the wrong kind of sense. Makes the wrong kind of sense.
Backs up what we've been seeing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, once in a while, you know, we'll get messages on Twitter. Both of us are active on Twitter. You can follow Stoke at BStokely14. I am at Buysline. You're very interactive with your followers. I love that. You know, we get some, you guys are negative.
Yeah.
Well, really you can't win because half the time right. It's, hey, you got your orange or blue glasses on, you're a homer. And then the other half of the time it's, you know, you're negative Nelly.
And that's what it is. If you say anything nice, you're homers. If you say anything bad at all, you're so negative. Why are y'all so negative? Dude, have you watched the last 2 years? It's just real talk is all it is. Like, wake up. What about, I mean, you want me to come in here and be, you know, hunky-dory? Everything is going great. But, you know, when they make two good signings and we're trying to be positive about it, look, now it's, you know, your homers. Those weren't that good of signings. Like, right. I mean, you really can't win. And and unfortunately, that's the way it goes in this business. But I think we're just honest about the situation.
That's right.
Situation hasn't been good the last couple of years. So if you're looking for nothing but positive talk, I mean, it's just foolish. You can't have that. 5-11, 6-10. How are you going to just talk nothing but positive about the Denver Broncos and their situation?
No, and people know better. People know better.
Some of them don't.
Well,
like, wake up.
Yeah. It is what it is. Hopefully, things are starting to turn around here.
I think it's moving in the right direction.
I think it is too, Stoke. I think it is too.
And look, I try to be optimistic. Right? I mean, you could look at the Flacco. We talked about the Flacco trade. Just like we talked about the Keenum situation. You were ultra positive about Case Keenum.
I was.
So was I. Joe Flacco, I think we're both positive about that, optimistic. We're optimistic. I'm choosing to see Joe Flacco and be optimistic about him and his acquisition. I mean, as we sit, before I see him play, I'm going to look at it as a positive.
Sure. I mean, we saw him up close and personal last year. He looked like a damn good football player with a lot left in the tank.
Yep.
So, but at the same time, we haven't got on these airwaves and say that the Broncos are going to be back in the playoffs. Joe Flacco is going to be a top 10 quarterback. Optimism with realistic viewpoints.
But prove it to us, right?
Sure.
And at the same time, I'm not going to tell you he's going to be that playoff quarterback.
It's prove it central around here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. But throughout the offseason, I'm going to be optimistic about those two signings that I just saw with Juwan James. Yeah, they had to overpay. Kareem Jackson, a very versatile guy, ranked fifth by Pro Football Focus.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, that's pretty good.
Pretty darn good.
I'm going to be optimistic about those two signings. At positions of need.
And impactful football positions. And that's not to diminish, you know, any other position. You talk about cornerback in 2019 in a pass-centric league. That is heavy, impactful positional upgrade that we just got. Talk about right tackle in the AFC West with the pass rushers that we see on a weekly basis. I mean, league-wide, shoot, not just in the division, league-wide. You're going to tell me that we potentially found the answer there with an upgrade with coaching? We could be Stoke. Don't want to be pissing rainbows here, but there was 7 different teams that were not in the playoffs a year ago. There was 7 different markets, 7 different fan bases who looked at their situation. They might have been optimistic, but they weren't saying, hey, we're going to be back. We're going to be back. And guess what they were? They were playing when it matters in the bright lights on the big stage of the playoffs. 7 different teams. It happens quickly in this league. Hopefully, we're up.
Yeah. You're in a tough division, though.
Sure.
I think I'm just excited to see the pieces, the new pieces. I think for me, that's what has me excited about this year. Vic Fangio, let's take a look at Vic. Does he look lost on the sideline? Is he confused? He's used to being up there where he just doesn't move. Now he's going to be having to move and he's going to have his stuff. I mean,
Talk to people?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how he looks and how he operates on the sideline. Joe Flacco, what is he going to look like coming here? Bradley Chubb, second year. What is he going to look like? This new draft class, these new signings that we're having. I mean, it's a lot to be optimistic about. Moving in the right direction, hopefully. They're trying to win now. They're not rebuilding. I think, you know, they told us that, but their actions are showing us that. And we'll see how it looks. He had a good draft last year, really good draft.
Sure.
Let's see these guys in year two. Let's see what the draft looks like this year. At some point, you're going to have to dive back into it and find a quarterback. Is it this year? At 10? Probably not, but it could be with John. We don't know.
You don't know.
Right?
You can't
cross it off the list altogether, but it's probably not. But at some point, they might take that quarterback, and that guy might be Russell Wilson. So a lot of change is happening, and to me, change brings optimism.
Sure. Sure. Why do I feel like second half, week one, Vic Fangio is going to be back up in the booth?
Wow.
Second half. Like after 30 minutes of football, like, no, I'm out. I'm out. I can't operate like this.
Where is Vic at?
I need to see the full field.
Wouldn't that be something? It wouldn't totally shock me.
You know who's going to play tonight?
I love listening to Vic anytime he talks. I like his voice. He's got the grandfatherly presence. He's not going to give you a whole lot. He's kind of funny and I think he's just going to kind of say it like it is. I like listening to him talk, though. What were you going with?
Your boy. You'll play tonight for the Dukies.
Zion.
Would you play if you were him?
I would, yeah. Me personally. Everybody's different. I wouldn't blame him if he didn't play. Ultimately, it's his decision on what's best for him and his future. And you're playing at a great university, and this is a great opportunity. Do you love the ball? Do you love to play basketball? Do you want to continue to do that with your teammates and enjoy this last month of your college career? Because if you do, then play. If you don't, and you're concerned about being injured, then don't play. I have no problem with that at all either. So whatever's best for you.
Whatever's best for you. But me, like you,
yeah.
I could not be sitting there healthy watching my teammates compete and me sit on the bench.
Nope. And knowing that you had a chance to, win a national championship and go down in history as, you know, you'll always be one of those guys that won a national championship at Duke.
Sure.
Right? One and done, whatever. But to not go out there, if you're healthy, I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. But some people could. And to each, you know, their own. And,
yeah.
And if he decided to do that's fine. But looks like he's going to play.
He's going to play. I'll be watching. Against Syracuse tonight, 7 o'clock. Can't wait. All right. Are we about to see the most motivated version of Joe Flacco? He's going to be introduced tomorrow. I got some numbers I want to bounce off you. But first, what's up with that Denver snapshot?